Welcome to Trail Mix, where Mary and Jody sort through life's fruits, sweets, and nuts. Mary Tomlinson and Jody Dreyer, who met when their paths crossed as Disney executives, are now advisors, speakers, and authors, and I'm excited to say podcasters. They can't wait to share life stories and experiences, insightful and practical takeaways, encouragement, and you can always count on full-out honesty and lots of laughs along the way. Ready for some Trail Mix? Let's mix it up with Mary and Jody.
So today we're going to be talking about expectations, and there is this really interesting tension between do we have high expectations and sometimes get disappointed, or do we lower our expectations and maybe be disappointed a little bit less? When I looked up the definition of an expectation, it says a strong belief that something will happen in the future, or a belief that someone will or should achieve something, a state of looking forward to something.
The interesting thing about this word is that it's sometimes interchanged with anticipation. Mm-hmm. And to me, expectations, not always a positive, fabulous word, whereas anticipation, and you can hardly say that without singing. I won't torture everyone, but Mary, you should probably. Exactly.
That one? Okay.
Yeah. So now I just want everyone to have that in their head. So this whole time they can't get that out of their mind, that song.
Right.
But you know, anticipation, you think of Christmas morning, you know, a child waking up and they're anticipating and it's fabulous. Expectations, you think, oh, I was expecting it to be like this.
Yeah.
And wah-wah. Right. It's also interesting when you think of words like that too. You think about expectations around people mm-hmm. and circumstances. So mm-hmm. I think it puts something heavy on people and circumstances in those cases.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard some interesting things about expectations. So one is the difference between our expectation, think about a high bar, and reality, think about a lower bar. So the delta between those two is disappointment. And the higher that our expectations are, which can just far surpass what, like you say, either people or circumstances can possibly produce, means that we'll be disappointed. In Psychology Today, they have this really sobering statement that says expectations are premeditated resentments, which is like, oh, gracious. So I will fess up. I do have high expectations. And I will tell you, I blame some of this on being the oldest child, you know, always trying to do very well. I will blame some of it on Disney, where we just strove for perfection at all times. And having too high of expectations of people or circumstances does bring about, I would say, frustrations. I'm not sure about premeditated resentments, but maybe. Psychology Today says the problem is when we expect something to happen without good reasons for that expectation. So I can expect people to act a specific way without really a good reason for it. I mean, I'm just expecting that that person is going to be like me, and they're not. And so then it just introduces this frustration because my expectations are not being met.
Well, and again, you know, you talked about the bar, and I think it's back to that tricky, usually not so fabulous, you know, word of perfection. So oftentimes our expectation is built on people or circumstances being perfect, which the reality, you know, as my dad used to love to say, perfection is the enemy of good. Mm-hmm. So when you think, but yet I hate to not have expectations because I think expectations can be great. And we want to, you know, you talked about the definition of looking forward to something. Well, so much of, I think, the goodness of life is we want to be in the moment, but we also want to be hopeful and we want to have expectations and look forward to things. And so I think it's how far we take it, and especially when it comes to people. Mm-hmm. You know, think oftentimes expectations are we expect people to change or change behavior, or this time it's going to be so different. Well, we all bring ourselves to to whatever we're doing, and think how hard it is to change the way you behave or think about something. Or, well, so you're expecting everybody else to change in a way that's in your head. So it's just, again, it runs amok. And one of my favorite quotes that every once in a while you see a quote or you read something and you think, okay, I should have this tattooed, or how do I wear it as a necklace or something? It's a British scholar, and his name's John Lubbock. And he said, his quote was, "What we see depends on what we look for." Mm-hmm. And I think expectations are a lot about what we're looking for. Right. So it is going to be the reality of it depends, you know, how we expect it to play out. So how can we have realistic expectations and not set ourselves up to fail?
Yeah, and I would say that's both for other people, other circumstances, and ourselves. I think we have, I know I do, very high expectations for myself. And I continually fall flat on my face. And then I am disappointed in myself because I did not live up to my ideal expectation of myself. So I think there is an element of grace here, personally, look in the mirror, and for everyone else, so that we aren't constantly frustrated. I saw an interesting blog by Mary Andrew called How I Navigate Expectations Versus Reality. And so I'd like to read a little bit, because I thought she really nailed this as it relates to this conversation. So she starts with these quotes: lower your expectations, don't get your hopes up, prepare to be disappointed. And she says, how could I? I'm an unspeakable optimist of a wild imagination. How could I ever not get my hopes up? As soon as the idea comes into my head to go somewhere, do something, or plan a special excursion, I'm envisioning the absolute most magical version of that scenario. Maybe this tendency is a gift from time to time, but it means I am almost always disappointed. I'm not capable of not getting my hopes up. I don't know if I want to be. Anticipation is the happiest part of a vacation, according to science, and I've spent countless hours daydreaming up beautiful future scenarios. It's a lovely thing to hope. That said, a slight shift has occurred for me in the last couple years, which has made the inevitable disappointments a bit easier to stomach. I've begun savoring specific moments rather than assessing the experience as a whole. I'm training myself to look for these moments and note them as we end up seeing what we look for. That's going back to your quote. Perhaps it's the reverse of a bucket list. Not an aggressive conquest of collection of things I want to do, but a soft symphony of what has happened to me. It's not a matter of lowering expectations at all, but of practicing saying, what a nice life moment, when the occasion arises. The more I practice that, the more I see them. So to your point, again, this is this tension. Do I lower? I mean, there's a quote by William Shakespeare that says, expectation is the root of all heartache. So this is not a new topic. And this whole issue of, do I lower my expectations? Do I keep them high because that's the way it should be? Or like Mary Andrews says, you know, maybe there's just a subtle shift of, you know, still looking forward with anticipating, but appreciating the here and now and the little moments versus the whole, which I think is really an interesting concept.
Right. Well, it's that whole notion of throughout our life, we should be mining for gold. And oftentimes with mining for gold, you're looking for the nugget. Mm-hmm. That leads to something. I mean, most people don't just instantly find the boulder of gold. They find right. the nugget. So how can you...
Or just a bunch of dirt.
Yeah, well, there's that as well. But, you know, it is, you know, the process of that and being in the moment, not just looking forward, 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 but mm-hmm. saying, gosh, here's this nugget right in front of me. You know, how do I really just live right into that moment? And I also think it's interesting that she says, you know, I want to be an optimist, because if you don't have expectations and if you don't look forward to things, it's almost like saying, don't be optimistic, don't be hopeful, right. don't right. be, you know, positive about, and there's a quote that's positive attitude leads to positive outcomes, and mm-hmm. a saying that I think is really important, that, you know, we need to have a positive attitude. We need to think that the best and look for the best in people and circumstances. So it's that hunting and mining for gold and looking forward, but not putting so much on it that you wrap that whole experience. So that was a great summary, the way she really walked you through the process to get there. The other thing that I think is interesting is I always think about it, you know, one of my favorite words and just life mantra is celebration. Mm-hmm. And how can we celebrate and live a life of celebration? Not that everything is worth celebrating, and there's things that we wish we didn't have in our lives, and in each day there's, you know, good and bad, and but how do you celebrate reality? So the juxtaposition of those two words that don't necessarily go together, sometimes we think the reality is, you know, our expectation was this, and the reality ended up being this, and that is such a come down. Well, oftentimes in the reality, there's things to be celebrated. Yeah. So, yeah, you know, those words together, I think, are interesting to think about.
Yeah. I mean, because, I mean, going back to your mining analogy, I mean, truly, I mean, the opportunity to go gold mining, just to be outside with your hands in the dirt, whether you get a nugget or not, literally. I mean, because you could go going, I am going to be rich, and then come away disappointed because it didn't live up to your expectations. But if the mindset is, you know, the expectation is this is going to be fun, just to be outside, whether I come away with anything or not, that's the celebrate reality of the thing. And to me, you know, I think it's important because all of us have different levels of expectation every single day. So whether it's with our spouse or we go to a restaurant and we have an expectation of how the server is going to pay attention to us, or when we call a business and we have an expectation that we might just be able to talk to somebody, or how
human,
long,
give me you, a human.
Yes, or going through a drive-through, how long we think it should or will take, or going to a doctor's office, you know, the timeliness, you know, I have an appointment, so they're going to see. Our whole day is a series of little and big expectations. So I think it's managing those, because if we have high expectations on all of those all day long, we're going to be let down, because the world, the reality is not in our mind's expectation of how we're going to have a perfect day.
Okay, but then think about this, because I read something and I couldn't decide whether to bring it up or not, because it talked about to not be disappointed. And we've touched on this a little bit, but to anticipate everything that could go wrong, or to expect everything that, so just using one of your examples, or the one that I really think is a biggie, would be holidays or vacations. You mentioned vacations, but holidays, for instance, you know, New Year's is going to be the greatest night of the year. It's going to kick off the year and make it fab. Well, there's no way. I mean, even if you have a great New Year's and you're with, you know, people you want to be with and you have a fabulous time and you have a great dinner, and like, is it going to be the best night of your life? I mean, chances are no. Or, you know, people with weddings, it's like, yes, it's going to be a beautiful day, but usually what you remember is what went wrong. So do you anticipate all those things? But then I know there's something wrong with that. So I didn't want to bring it up. I mean, because to sit around, okay, so let's take, you know, stick with our holiday example. You know, do you sit there and go, okay, it's probably going to be really crowded because New Year's is really crowded. So we're going to go out somewhere. So we're just going to know we're going to have to wait. We're going to be disappointed because they're trying to feed so many people. They're going to put stuff out there. So the food's going to probably be okay. And, you know, we had thought it was going to be this whole big group, and now it didn't turn out being like that. So it's really not the people we... Well, then all of a sudden, it's like you don't even want to go. So, I mean, I think it's their reality to me is about, you know, being hopeful and being, you know, like there's a prayer about praying that God will ask you for open eyes, open hearts, open ears, and the joy, you know, in the day to day of our lives. Well, that to me is different than Eeyore, you know, to use a Disney character, like wah wah, you know, everything is going to go wrong. The sky is falling. I mean, I'm just not sure we should all walk around that. That's a great way to counter having unrealistic expectations.
Well, we all know the glass half empty people in our lives. And now, you know, maybe they're disappointed less. I mean, Christopher Miller says, low expectations are the key to happiness in life. Well, maybe. It's this tension. We just came back from a family vacation, and I intentionally lowered my expectations for how it would go, how the children, okay, you know, 2 5-year-olds.
Because you have littles and you can't expect.
A 7-year-old, a 9-year-old, how they would react. So I just mentally said, okay, I'm just not going to, you know, if there's chaos at dinner time after Bill has worked all day to make a really nice meal, all right, I'm going to be ready for it versus frustrated and surprised when it happens. So I think there is this tension between not
celebrating
having this perfection.
Reality.
yeah. So you know, it is a challenge. There's another part of this that says, don't blame people for disappointing you. Blame yourself for expecting too much from them. Wow, that kind of hits home. Because I'll expect people to act a certain way and to do certain things. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, they just don't.
Or to your point earlier, expect them to think or behave or be exactly like you, which in some cases, there isn't a right or wrong. Like your way isn't necessarily the only way, the right way. So how do you not put your own ideas on somebody else and then have that as the expectation?
Right. And there's another piece from Psychology Today that says, without verbalizing our expectations, people construct stories in their head about expectations for each other. And I think I've mentioned this before. One of the areas that we explore when Bill and I are mentoring couples getting married are expectations. And interesting that each person in this partnership marriage is coming into the relationship with expectations around every single thing, down to the little things like who takes out the trash. And each person's expectation is built sort of a big part on how they were raised. So if their mom or dad stayed home with the kids or did the finances or made the bed or, maintained ties with relatives, typically we go into a marriage with that same model. But the problem is if, you know, in one household, my mom did it, and in one household, his dad did it, or they both did it, then we're each coming in with these unspoken expectations. And that's where we get into trouble, because then, you know, we've heard couples say, you know, well, the trash sat there for 2 weeks because he's supposed to do it. And he's going, I'm not doing it. You're supposed to
do it. I didn't know I was supposed to do that.
So, yeah. Right. So I think part of managing expectations, and I probably could have even done a better job of that on the vacation, is to be able to say to everyone, okay, these are the things that are important to me. We ran into one bump on timing of dinner. So, you know, Bill is a big one on you're just preparing this glorious dinner, and he, when it is ready, wants everybody at the table so that they can enjoy it hot. Well, when you have 10 people, you can put everything on the table and everybody's running all over the house. And then he starts to get frustrated because his expectation is that everybody's at the table enjoying it hot and it's getting cold. So we actually had a conversation about this, that this bothered us. And so then everybody was like, oh, okay, we'll do this. Tell us, like, if you want to have dinner at 6:30, you tell us we're going to have dinner at 6:15 and we will be there. Mm-hmm. And you know what? They were. But we had to speak into expectation to avoid the nightly frustration of everybody just kind of getting there when they got there.
Right. And that's true going all the way back to where we started, people and circumstances. And so you have to verbalize that. And then oftentimes with circumstances, so just staying with the vacation, you know, let's say you go on a beach vacation and it rains the whole time you're there. Well, mm-hmm. you can't control that. So right. your expectation, you want to hope that it's sunny and that you get to be outside a lot. But the reality of the circumstances, maybe not. So how do you not let that ruin everything? And I think that's where the mining for gold and the celebrating the reality and celebrating the moments, because oftentimes then you look back, some of our greatest vacations as a family, when we would go to Disney, it would start to rain and people would go inside and we were the run through the rain family, run in the puddles. And those were some of our favorite moments. We'd practically have Main Street to ourselves running in the rain and running from attraction to attraction. So I do think it's, you know, knowing there will be clouds, having realistic expectations, but also verbalizing those, like you're saying, and then celebrating the reality and mining those little nuggets and hoping that you have eyes that really see those
moments. So celebrate the reality of every day. Understand your expectations. Manage them. Maybe not lower them too much. Just manage them, but celebrate reality. And part of celebrating reality are all the little things every day, like trail mix. So celebrate the reality of trail mix. And don't forget the chocolate.
Or the popcorn. You can find all of our Trail Mix episodes wherever you listen to podcasts. We would love you to rate and give us a review.
And follow us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Look for Trail Mix Pod with a picture of Trail Mix. To learn more about us, check out our new website, trailmixpod.com.
It was great to have you. Thanks for listening to Trail Mix, sorting through life's fruits, sweets, and nuts. Keep mixing it up. And remember, life is nuts. So don't forget the chocolate
or the popcorn.